views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Light on Living. I say welcome three times because we have three guests today. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Each show, we shine a spotlight on helpful techniques, mindsets, lifestyles, and inspiring stories to help you get through, not over, life's challenges. Today, I'm trying to, like, contain myself here because this show is all about animals, and we have three guests today with each very individual story to share and helpful things. And the reason why today was, well, I think every show is important, but this one I was really compelled to do because the animal stories that we're all about to share are meant for all of you right now to be uplifted, to make you feel good. You're going to be receiving this uplifted vibrations on animal love, and I can't imagine an easier way to get through life's challenges than with animal help and love and healing. So we are going to kick it off with Lucy Lauren, and what she's going to be sharing with us and letting us know and talking about is all about animal therapy and how, you know, the animals do this and what's involved and all the wonderful stories that make us feel good. So Lucy is actually a pet care specialist. She has extended background with animal care in the industry. She's a master groomer, a pet and home sitter, holistic animal practitioner, rescue activist, and absolute she is, and she trains pets for therapy and an author on pet nutrition and home cooking for your pets. So welcome, Lucy, our first guest. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. The sun is shining, and what a gorgeous day to have this amazing program. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Oh, and you probably are thinking, this is a great day to be walking those dogs.
I had just done so that they would be quiet and restful and not bark throughout this whole segment, I'm hoping.
Well, yeah, should they bark? That just means that they're trying to tell us something, and we will listen.
Now, oh, dear.
I'm so excited. I was so excited when you said yes to doing this show part because animal therapy is such a unique and special. I just find it so special. And I love if you could share just some stories about animal therapy and how it's for both of us. And I remember that you actually even have some animal the dogs that do animal therapy in your very own home. Can you tell us about them and how all that works?
Absolutely. I, at the moment, have one dog that is doing therapy. I've got a kitty cat. And I had one, but she passed on to the Rainbow Bridge due to her age, and she was the best therapy dog ever. And I wanted just to quickly mention that my segment is not for those to run out and grab a therapy dog for your family or try and turn, let's say, their existing pets into therapy, because it does require a very special type of pet to endure all of this excitement, being placed in front of lots of different people, especially those that may have ailments, physical attributes, disabilities of some sort. So you really have to be very careful at having a pet throughout all of this. I have a wonderful story of my one little one there, Sparkle, that she's now with those up in the Rainbow Bridge. And she came to me to my rescue unloved, unwanted, and I found something about her that was just a sparkle, basically, in her eye, and what a great appropriate name. And she loved to hug. She would literally put her paws up onto your lap and come and want you to hug her. So I thought, well, there's something about her that let's see what we can do with her. So training her and getting some more development through all of this, I found that she loved people more than she loved pets. So I had an opportunity to work with her extensively. And mind you, I didn't have to do very much. So we started to go to different places where there was children that were terminally ill or other adults that had depression and whatnot. And they loved and welcomed her because she was so calm, quiet, and just wanted to be hugged. And people just loved that about her, especially children, because she was the best. She would just literally run up to them and want to be up on their lap. So a smile on these little ones' faces was the reason I actually continued right up until her last days with us here. Aww. And she just... She was amazing. I can't stress that enough. See,
I love that you share also, that there's, it's almost like a calling that the animal themselves feels as well. And they communicate with us on how to say that you were there to recognize her purpose, to live out this and say, I was so beautiful of you to honor her. And I want to say thank you for you to recognize her, because look at all the people you both now helped all together.
Well, we have. And, you know, a lot of other therapy animals, those that are handlers as well, forget to look for signs of stress within them. They may not show that when they are going to different places from hours and hours on end. They may show after the fact, mm-hmm. where they're not eating, they're having a little bit of a relapse. So you can't expect any animal to be a therapy, or they may not even be trainable to be a therapy dog. It's a special, I want to say that I have this communication with them where they let me know if they're able to be a therapy pet or not. I have a fantastic cat who, again, wants to be held, and he will stretch his arms way up and want you to pick him up because he wants to lay across your shoulders and just lay and enjoy the warmth and touch of a human. And it's just amazing to see how they just do what they do.
So something about their vibration, like just their own existence, like their life force. And is that how, if you're in your work,
yes.
how would you describe that? Yeah.
You have to really know about animal and animal behavior, which I've also gotten a very extensive study in, and you have to know how they react to certain things. And body language, as us humans also react to, animals do the same thing.
Yes.
About
watching for the signs. Yes, because it is important to see, you know, even animals get tired and take on, you know, their healing, so they're giving as well. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yes, share that. The other thing that I interrupted you.
No. Animals, they need therapy from humans as well. I've got one here with me who is unadoptable, unfortunately, because of her issues, and she does need therapy in a certain way. I find that doing certain activities with her have to really play a big important role, because now she's within our pack. She's comfortable within our pack. But once we get her out with other beings, other individuals, other, you know, people out there, she goes totally off, and it's very difficult. She loves children, so we are grateful for that. And we use her just strictly in a children's environment because of her love of children. Any adults that may enter or come into the room, opposed to myself, she just goes absolutely crazy. And we had found out the reasoning behind how her reactions are to humans and children. And I'm not sure if we're allowed to share that story, but it was very heart-wrenching to find out on why the reason she just was not friendly with an adult being present with children. And
what we can really take from that story is that, without going into the negative, the positive is that she has come through something and still has that offering that she's like, I still want to give, and the capacity that she can.
Oh,
like
absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so I love that you actually did say that, you know, to that degree, because you're right. And when we all look at animals and how they can help and that they need to be healed, I love that you said that. And just to really watch
that.
And, Oh, sorry, she was where? Sorry?
Oh, she was actually protecting children in a situation from an adult that was not very kind to the children. And she was just showing her aggression towards that adult because she was actually protecting children. So for her, children is sort of her puppies, I guess, if you want to say something like that.
Oh,
and
yes.
She absolutely loves children. Our neighbors have kids. As soon as the kids are outside, she just wants to be with them, play with them. She's an amazing little thing, but as soon as a parent or an adult may come to call them inside or to straighten out a jacket of some sort, she just does not go very well with that. So, of course, I have to bring her back inside. But the moment they leave, she's back to her old self again. So there's always something behind animals, and for whatever the reason that they give to us. And want to hear this one, farm animals are now being used as therapy as well, where they have, yes, you've heard of that. They bring children in that are possibly, again, terminally ill or have disabilities of some sort, and bring them in to show the special needs of, let's say, farm animals that may have a disability themselves or that are very calm. And these individuals come to a farm and to show how to, let's say, feed a cow. Let's say that's my favorite animal in the whole world. So they get to learn about a cow and how they need their nutrition, and they get pet. And it's a great, great thing that they're starting to do that as well.
Well, you know, I'm so glad that you mentioned all the other animals. We are going to go to commercial. Lucy, if you could just stay with us. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the animal therapy segment and let people know, just get a few more tips about that. So in 2 minutes, we'll be right back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Tammy Adams, intuitive life coach and spiritual healer, for my new show, Karma Talk. Learn how to get rid of your karma so that you can start living the life you are meant to live. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Join me on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for Karma Talk on Om Time Radio.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
And we are back with Lucy, who has been sharing with us about animal therapy. And so we've learned that not all animals are meant to be used for therapy, but the ones that you may least suspect are, you know, like you said about the cows and stuff. My final question to you, and then I'd love if we could hear where we can get in touch with you or just to read more about your stories. But the question I have for you is, how could people experience, like if somebody has experienced animal therapy yet, what's the best way for them to even feel it or do it or see it or go about that?
There are quite a few numerous agencies out there that specialize strictly in therapy animals, and you can find them online. And if you wanted to have an experience with these therapy animals, it's always advisable to just go ahead and find someone that is within your means or neighborhood, and you can actually do that. Again, if you feel that you would need therapy from an animal yourself, there are also those places that do rent-a-pet, and you can have them for the weekend. But you do have to reach out.
That is so fun. Yes. Well,
yeah, they have all kinds of different ways.
So many neat ways to do this. So there's definitely lots of ways that we can receive from the animals and that we can give back to them. So how can anybody get a hold of you, or just, you know, if they have any questions or want to hear more, let us know how we can get in touch with you.
I am on Facebook. You can find me there. And I've got so many different venues. I'm not sure. I guess you can also reach me through email if you'd like.
Okay, and what's your email? It's Lucy Lauren. And if you want to spell out your email, then yes. But on Facebook, it's
Lucy Lauren. Well, it's a very simple email. It's welovelucy@hotmail.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so very much, Lucy, for joining with us and sharing those stories. We're going to scooch over to guest number two. But, Lucy, again, thank you. And I'm going to be posting where people can just find out more about you and therapy as well. So nobody will miss out. So thank you again.
Thank you, too, Lisa.
Oh, bye-bye. And now we have Jennifer. Jennifer, are you on the line with us?
I am.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
This is Jennifer. My goodness. Hello, Jennifer. I have to do a little intro for you because I've invited each one of you for a very specific and different reason. And why we have Jennifer today, she does a bazillion awesome things, but today she's going to be helping and sharing with us, teaching with us about animal spirit guides. So let me just introduce you, Jennifer. She's an internationally renowned medium who has been connecting with spirit from the age of 3. Her many talents include spiritual healing, teaching, and inspirational speaking. Her mission in life is to help others know that their loved ones, guides, and angels are with them, loving them, healing them, and assisting them. So I'm going to leave it at that because there's just so much about that, but I am so excited to ask you the question about animal spirit guides. This is such a new thing for me. I just don't know a lot about it. And so if somebody like myself were to come to you and say, you know what? What is an animal spirit guide, and how do I know I have one? Let's start there.
So an animal spirit guide is a little different than your spirit guides that are assigned to you before you come to the earth plane. Spirit guides guide you and help you with certain things in your life, and they change, as do spirit animals. So spirit animals you may see during your meditation. If you meditate and you see a turtle, it might be telling you to slow down, or that the universe is just, the energies are too quick for you right now and you need to take a step back and make some decision making. If you see panda bears, those are typically about balance and about peace and finding that balance within. Now, interestingly enough, may I share with you two of your spirit animals?
Yes.
Is that okay if I do that? Okay.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
You have a black panther. There's a black panther that's with you, which I know you're all about the cat. You're all about the cat. But they give you courage to stand alone and stand in your power, which is very much you. You realize now that you don't need people to guide you forward, that you alone can encourage yourself to go forward. The light within you is enough and is all you need. So also, too, though, the wolf brings balance to the black panther. So you have the wolf with you, which is it's encouraging you to trust in others in work partnerships, is what I'm getting. So also, too, though, I do see spirits of animals who have passed. Now, spirits, after they pass, are in the same place that our loved ones are. So they are all in heaven together. How boring would heaven be without animals? Really, right?
So true.
You wouldn't want to get to heaven and go, where are my cats? Where are my babies, right? So you do actually have the spirit of your cat angel, beautiful, white, sweet, peaceful, round-faced angel. Angel is a cat that you had a long time ago, and Angel comes to you to bring you balance. That's Angel's specific goal for you, is just balance and peace. So you're attaining that right now. And what I'm getting is, you know, your family members are on the other side with your animals. And, you know, the difference between your spirit animals, they can change. But your loved ones that are transitioned to heaven, both human and animal, they stay the same. So you have, I know, and it's really weird because I know you have fear of butterflies. So,
Oh, goodness. Everything's coming out on the show.
Okay. No, but it's a good, it was in the past. I see this transitioning now because there's a reason why you have that fear and it's not your own. But I do see ancient wisdom with you and transformation. And the transformation has already been happening. And your spirit animals just stand with you in your progress.
Okay, so when somebody's listening to this right now and they're thinking, I dream about an animal all the time, or I see one, or I think, as you're saying, is it signifying to them possibly that it's just a message at that time, or that it is their spirit animal with them, like just through their lifetime? So it could be all of these things.
That's true, and they don't just have to be like mammals. There's insects. You know, there's marine life as well. So seahorses, that's a very masculine creature to see, because the males are the ones that carry the baby, not the females. So when you see a seahorse, it's typically the masculine in you taking over, or some masculine forces that are strengthening up your reserve right now. So, you know, horses are very indicative of intuition and psychic ability, as are foxes. Foxes are very strong for psychic ability, and they avoid conflict. They're very sly. They can bob and weave out of the way of conflict.
Is there an animal that you find that is more common? I don't mean to say, like, you know, oh, it's a common one, but is there one particular animal that you notice is stronger or comes through more for people in all your readings?
Not really. I mean, I see a gamut of them, but I mostly see their loved ones in spirit with them.
Okay.
As with spirit guides, human spirit guides, we tend to need to see that for ourselves. So someone could tell you who your spirit guide is, but really you should meditate and find out for yourself. Ask for them to present themselves to you in your meditation. Same with the spirit animals. And everybody out there has the ability to tap into this. They can tap into their spirit animals by meditating and asking them, inviting them to come.
Okay. So that would just be is it better to do it in your own space, that there's not other people around? Would somebody possibly pick up an other person's animal, like how you're picking up mine? So is it best to maybe start off in the beginning just solo?
Yeah, it is. It is. But what I do is it's my job to tap into people's energies in with permission, obviously, and to pick up on their loved ones who surround them and are really their support system on the other side, both animal and human. Animals are such an amazing force in our lives. And, you know, that a lot of people say, if they don't like animals, I don't like them. You know, you can tell somebody you can't trust if they don't like any kind of animal. Usually people are drawn to one type of animal or another, and you can tell a lot about people in your life by how they treat animals. You can tell a lot about people by the way they treat their animals in their life.
Yes, treat their animals, sorry, yes. Oh, and that is so true. And that's actually the biggest reason for the show today. I love that you're saying that. They're how we treat them and what they can bring to us and how they can really guide us and help us if we connect with them. And so to ask them to connect with us, to say, I would love for you to be in my life. Can you show me to yourself? Or, you know, how is that going to work? And I love the respect that comes through when you're doing this. So when you're doing the animal readings for people, you would start the reading off, and does it come very clearly and quickly to you when you're doing this?
Yes, And it's what I find unusual. Well, not unusual. I think we all have these special bonds with our animals because it's truly just unconditional love. They don't ask for anything in return other than daily care. They don't ask, you know, Mom, buy me this for Christmas, or they don't put restrictions on our relationship. So there will often be, when I connect somebody with their loved one who's on the other side, they take that information in, and the minute I mention an animal, the tears come, like instantly tears come, because that just, sometimes we don't think, would they be together? Would they be watching over me? And absolutely they do. Sometimes they get to come back as another pet too.
That I find fascinating.
Very interesting.
So is it the animal that's, I guess it would be, it's their soul deciding to say, I would like to come back, or how does that work with the, or do they come when they're needed, or?
Well, there's many variations of this. So yes, they can come back when they're needed, but also too, it typically is like a soul arrangement you've made with them before you come to the airplane. Before you're born, you're up in heaven with all your loved ones, and you kind of say, what do I want to learn this lifetime, and who's going to teach it to me? Who are the key players in my life, including your pets? Pets are such an important part of life. They really are. When you're feeling sad and they come and they sit on your lap and they just give you that unconditional love, like they can tell what you're going through when you're sick and they won't leave your side, or when you're joyful and they want to play, you know, it, and really when we're sad and we play with that, throw a ball for a dog, or just sit and pet your animal. Or if you have birds and you sit and you watch them and you listen to them, they converse with us in a way that requires no words.
Yes.
So these are really magnificent forces.
You actually, this is a really super important question. I'm going to ask it, and we may end up going to commercial, and then we can answer when we come back. But I was going to say, can your animal spirit, that one that you have that's yours, can it be your animal spirit whilst living, like, on this planet, like, now? Okay, so when we come back, we're going to find out, can it be in two places at once, in 2 minutes?
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And we're back with Jennifer Lee Williamson. And I have to remember to get to share your contact with everybody after. But the question I'm dying to know the answer, actually, is, can your animal spirit be both living with you, like, could my cats right now, the ones I have, could they be my animal spirit whilst living with me here?
So can they watch over you while they're here? Yes, they can come in forms that they're guardians to you, that they guide you and they watch over and they keep you safe while you're both here on the earth plane. Then eventually, when they go back home to heaven, they are still watching over you, just not in physical form. So yes, they absolutely can.
Okay, so they're just, their mission and purpose just never ends, does it?
Well, I am so happy to hear you
share a little bit. Pardon me?
Sorry, it really is such a correlation between pure souls. So we choose them, they choose us. It's a mutual thing.
I love that. It's like an agreement, and it's a beautiful based on love and helping to grow and evolve. And so if somebody were to want a reading, like to say, I want to know my spirit animal, and they want to get in touch with you, how would they get in touch with you to find that out?
So my website is jenniferthemedium.com. My business name technically is Jennifer the Medium. People would check that out online. Also, I'm at Jen the Medium on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. My page is Jennifer the Medium, and on Instagram, Jennifer the Medium.
All right. Okay. I love how easy it is. So Jennifer the Medium. Well, thank you so much. Jennifer the Medium. I love that. So if anybody likes to find out who and where and how all their animal spirit guides are, then please get in touch with Jennifer. And thank you so much for being on the show. I'm going to scooch over to our I'm going to scooch over now to Lisa, another Lisa, Lisa Shaw. And hello, Lisa. Are you on the line with us?
I am.
Oh, hello there. Hello. Well, I'm going to go ahead and introduce you. And it's so, this is, again, all the guests are so interesting. So Lisa Shaw, she's been an animal communicator since around 1993, and she began doing Reiki in the late 80s. She became a Reiki master in 1994 and became a certified hypnotherapist to be able to teach and lead meditations. She began working as a psychic and tarot card reader in the late 80s and worked primarily with people, but felt most satisfied working with animals and became, you actually started limiting to both your Reiki practice and the readings to animals alone, which is amazing.
Right.
So welcome, Lisa, to the show. We're so excited to have you here. And I chose the category of animal Reiki circle for you to share with us about that. And that, well, first of all, maybe we could even start what is a Reiki circle on its own, and then how do you do this with animals?
Okay, great. Well, Reiki is a healing modality that comes originally from Japan, but it has its roots in Tibet, and it's a hands-on method of healing. Some people use their hands to place them directly on the recipient. Some work in the aura. And the Reiki practitioner, who is trained and certified in three levels, the Reiki practitioner acts almost as a vehicle, a channel through which this divine energy comes through. And it works very much like chiropractic, like massage. It treats the whole mind, body, and spirit. And the beauty of Reiki is that every time the practitioner is performing it on somebody else, he or she is also experiencing the Reiki. So it's a constant healing whenever we're doing it for somebody else. So the Reiki circles are very popular as a way to introduce people to Reiki. And usually it's a group of people at a center who sit in a circle and meditate for about 20 minutes to 25, 30 minutes, depending upon the size. And the practitioners go around to each person and place their hands over their heads and wherever on their bodies they need to be drawn. And everybody emerges somehow cleansed and healed. But I discovered that animals are so much more receptive to such natural methods because they don't have any conscious blocks, they are not skeptics, and they understand what divine energy is because they live in that space. So
I love that you said that about that they're not skeptics.
Right. You know, you see a person who might say, you know, I don't know if I trust this, or I'll do it, but I don't think it's really going to work. And they put blocks in front of their own healing with that kind of skepticism. Animals, as soon as they feel that Reiki energy, they come in to the practitioner's aura. They want it. They crave it because they're so pure.
That is, I can just imagine it. And I can see it. So when we're thinking about right now, you know, everybody listening, if you have an animal, if you know somebody with an animal who is like, what, when would they think that an animal would need Reiki? What would give us an example of what would happen if you're looking at your animal, dog or cat or hamster, and then say, yes, they would need that.
Well, they always will. They always can use it because animals also tend to absorb our human energies when we're angry, when we're sad. All of that serves as a buffer for the animal so that we don't carry it. They take on our stuff. When we do Reiki on the animals, they just release all of that negativity. So an animal doesn't need to be sick, but if an animal is with a human being, there's going to be that shared energy. And the animals shouldn't really have to bear our burdens. So every animal can use it. But most of the time, when I had been called to do private sessions, it's because an animal was critically ill or undergoing some sort of harmful medical procedures or taking chemotherapy or cortisone therapy, which is very debilitating itself. So it helps physically, and it helps to relax them so that they're not carrying on the stress of going to the vet and getting these injections or infusions. It makes even their final days as they are leaving to go to the next plane a smooth, peaceful experience rather than a traumatic one.
It sounds like such a beautiful thing to offer to them and just to thank them and say, we're here for you. And, you know, we're offering to the animals. What does that look like when you, like, how long would you do some a session with them as an individual? And then the circle you mentioned with people is 20 minutes or so. But, yeah, let us know, how does that, what does that look like, a session, when you do them?
With a Reiki session with an animal, I would say it takes between 30 minutes to an hour, because we don't know exactly how much time an animal would need depending upon its own particular ailments. So when we work in the aura, our hands are drawn to the spots that need soothing, that need the energy, that need clearing out. And in some cases, it's much more dramatic than in others. So we go from head to tail and work through all of the chakra points, because animals have the same chakra system that we do. And it varies, but usually at least a half hour to be thorough.
Okay. You know, I did not know that. I never thought, you know, I didn't sit and think, oh, I wonder if the animals have, but the animals have the same chakras that we do, the same centers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, wow. And when you're doing this, the circle, when you join everybody together, it's their own, everybody's going to have their own, you'll feel it from each individual. What happens, would another animal be displaying what the other animal beside them would be experiencing? Like, are they all helping each other? Is it very individual? And you as the
Reiki
healer?
No, it's very individual. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what about the circle? I would love to hear, because you actually run an entire, it's online, mm-hmm. or how people join
it's
it?
It's online, yeah.
About the circle with you. Okay, yeah, sure. Tell us all about that.
Because Reiki is not limited to a particular physical location, you know, the level two in Reiki teaches us how to do distant healing. So it's a very easy idea to gather people from around different areas, and we all sit with the same mindset that we're going to be doing healing and our animals will be receiving healing. So I started the idea in 2011. On Facebook, and it has grown. So we have people now who sit with us twice on Sunday, once at 9 in the morning, and then again for the people on the West Coast at 6 Pacific time. We sit from wherever we are, and I lead a meditation. I type up the script. People put in pictures of their animals if they need particular help. Some people are there to send. Some people are here, are there to receive, and everybody receives regardless. And we just sit for 20 minutes and meditate and send the healing energy to the animal. And very often the people will write that their animal was relaxed or fast asleep by the time the session was over, or their demeanor had changed, because it's a very effective way of working with energy. We know that for people, prayer circles have been proven to help people in critical conditions. So this is the same thing, except that it's Reiki. And everybody is an animal lover. Everybody comes with an open heart. And we know animals are the most generous when it comes to love and unconditional love. So it really works. We really feel it.
You know what? I love that we're talking about this specifically, because as you just said about prayer circles, it, there are people who don't have their own animals, their own pets in a part of the family. However, they do love animals, or, you know, this is what the show is about, is how to uplift and really put us in a beautiful, positive, loving light. So if somebody's listening, they don't have a pet, but they really want to participate and send that love and heal and give, can they join the circle as well and just
oh,
put it out there to the world?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because we can all use an extra hand, right? An extra helping hand here, Ricky.
That's right. That's right. And we do have a lot of people who work in shelters.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Okay, so the people who, sorry, are we would the circle people be sending it to the shelters, you mean, or people in the shelters joining the group?
Both. Both.
Oh, okay.
So we have people who, could, you know, people who are in the group will put in a picture of a cat that was recently dropped off at a shelter or a dog at a shelter. Or just this week, we got two pictures of two Salukis who have been abused in Dubai. So everybody could send them healing, and they are now coming to the United States for adoption. So we work a lot with people who are working in shelters, not necessarily with their own animals, but with all of the animals that come to them. Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that that did come up, because I just want everybody to know that they can always do something and to love animals and help them and honor them. And you know, it's just thinking about with the therapy dogs that we were speaking about in the beginning of the show with Lucy, the therapy dogs, because they're, as they go and help others, they're going to be, as you said, holding that kind of energy from the other people. So Reiki to help therapy dogs would be fantastic.
Exactly. That would go right along with the idea of giving healing to the healer. Helping the caregiver, because the animal in that case is the caregiver.
Oh, I love that. Giving healing to the healer. Oh, I'm actually writing that down. It's beautiful. Can you let us know the page? Like, how would somebody go to that circle and sign up or join it?
It's very easy. We're on Facebook. They can just do a search for Animal Reiki Circle and request membership, and I get the membership request. And generally, it's a closed group, but if people are involved with animals and have animals and love animals, then it's an open membership. We take them right in. The only times we don't is if there's no evidence on their pages that they have animals or that they're involved in spirituality, or if they're just advertising their own business, because this is a complete healing circle. Nobody advertises their own skills. We are all the same when we get there.
Okay, well, actually, we are going to go to commercial, but I want you to stay on with us, because when we come back, I just one more question about a fun story. And yeah,
okay.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Yep.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
You just have to love these commercials. I have so many fun cat commercials, dog commercials, bird commercials. Oh, and before I ask about the story, I was going to ask, so, you know, rejection of any kind of animal. If you have a lizard, is that correct? You could have a bird. You could have a snake. You could have a, well, that is a lizard. But it, there's no limits to who kind of animal could be.
Absolutely not. I've done readings for rats. I've done donkeys, horses, dogs, cats, hamsters, Reiki for all of them, lizards, every living thing.
And this is all over distance or in person. You could do either.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. That's so I was going to say, if we could just share a story that maybe comes to mind about, you know, an uplifting story that, you know, an animal has come in a certain way and really had quite the turnaround, just a change. Like, what would a good story come to mind for you about that?
Well, you know, sometimes the owner is the problem and it's not the animal. So early on, I was called to do Reiki and a reading on a Rottweiler in Miami. And he was aggravated, they said. He sometimes would have, not rages, but he would grumble and he would bite. And they wanted to know what was in his mind that he was biting. So I decided, or actually I was called and felt I should just do Reiki on him and work in the aura, not ask him what he thought, because I thought it was physical. And I was putting my hands on and scanning his body for any disturbances, as we often do in Reiki. And when I got to a certain spot, he didn't bite, but he sat up and forcefully grabbed my hand and moved it away. And I did that two or three times. And it was just at the bottom of his belly. And I said to the owner, there's something wrong here. This is a physical problem. There's no emotional problem that your animal is having. It's strictly physical. I can send him energy. We can see what we can do about it. But have you taken him to the vet? I would recommend that you go to the vet because there is something wrong. And she said, yes. His testicles never dropped. And the vet told us years ago we should have them surgically removed, but we just never did it. We didn't think it was important. And I said, I know. I said, it's critical. It's important. He's the lovingest dog. But as soon as I get anywhere near that spot, he's letting me know that there is a problem. And that's a case where the animal is wiser than the human being. And thank God I was able to see this, because that was the cause of his problem. So it was very easy to identify. Animals will tell us the truth. And that, it was a happy ending.
I love that animals will tell us the truth. And I love the happy ending, of course, but I have truth. Animals will tell us the truth. So I wanted to, I'm going to put Jennifer back on because I know she's got some beautiful comment to add or a question, but I want to just remind everybody again, it's the Animal Reiki Circle on Facebook. And you, my lovely guest, is Lisa Shaw, S-H-A-W. And that's where they can make their first. And if they do want to have a reading or something else, just anything that they are concerned about or curious about or just want to reach out and help their animals, they could connect with you for this. Is that correct?
Correct. Correct. They go to my webpage, which is ReikiDogs.com.
Okay, okay. Can you spell that for everybody?
Yes, ReikiDogs.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So I'm going to ask Jennifer, so just stay with us, Lisa. Jennifer, what do you think about all this fun stuff? I know you know something about this whole Reiki circle for animals, too. You've got to know this.
Well, yes. I have my level one. I won't go further than level one because whenever I do Reiki, I'm just channeling messages and I forget what I'm supposed to be doing, where my hands are going next. But Reiki is such an amazing healing force. It is absolutely... you know, we all have abilities to heal, but I mean, really, Reiki is absolutely such an important part of my life, even though I don't practice probably as much as I should. But the healing that animals give us as well. I have a son who's autistic, and I have three dogs, and a chicken. And the healing energy that one of my dogs will sit on my son's lap and just, he just diffuses any emotional issues that my 13-year-old son is having. And the healing they give us, we deserve to give back to them, whether we're doing Reiki healing, or just our love. Our love is so healing. I love this animal Reiki circle. I'm gonna send you a Facebook request.
Good. I'd love to have
It's such an amazing part of, you know, spirituality, is the ability we have to heal each other and ourselves. And I wish more people would tap into that. So, you know, it's great to hear your stories and to learn more about what you do as well. I find that very valuable.
You know, and Lisa, I can't wait to join the circle as well. I'm going to share a little story. This is years ago. I think it was 2010. And everybody knows that my little boy Brinks, Lucy's my girl, and not the Lucy's earlier, but yes, Brinks. And so I was splitting up with Brinks's dad, and I was just torn because I didn't, at the time I was like, I should leave the cat with his dad. But I couldn't bear to be with him, but I didn't know what was best for him. Like, I knew I wanted the cat, I wanted Brinks to be with me, but I didn't know what was best. And it tore me apart. I actually called, and had a session, for an animal psychic. I think she was in New York or something. And it was just very unsettling to me. I was like, I just want to know what he wants. Do either one of you, I'll ask Lisa here first. Do you get that people call just because they don't know whether the animal is happy in the home or the family, or that, if there's a split up going on? Because split ups are very, very difficult on animals.
Yes.
Do you get that?
And I experienced that too. Yeah. I did it with my own dog when I divorced. He took it very badly. So we had to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's very common.
So would Reiki help that, or is it more?
It does.
Okay, so because you're trying to heal them, but would you be able to? I'm going to just say this the way it's going to come out. Would you be able to hear what they're thinking? Like, could they tell you?
They would. They tell me. I'm a communicator, so it's telepathic communication. Basically, I'm a medium or a psychic for animals. And they tell us, and we can also relay messages back to them from the owner. So we serve as sort of a conduit between the two. And they also understand, just like people do. They tell us what their issues are so we can address them with the owner. I don't like to say owner, with a human companion.
Yes.
So it goes both ways. So, yeah, it does work.
And what would you say would be, I like to ask this question, is there something that's more common that people come to you for than another? Like, is there something that's,
for me,
be coming to you? Yeah.
I do a lot of work with end-of-life issues because we know that the greatest measure of unfairness is having to lose an animal every 10 or 12 years. If we have animals, we love them, but they leave. And sometimes the owner is torn about whether the animal is ready to be humanely put down, to make that transition to the next level easy. There's a lot of guilt involved. So they call me in. The animals understand what we call death. They understand they're not leaving permanently. They're leaving this plane, but they still continue to exist. And it ends up really being more comforting for the human being, who understands when it's time to go, to do it with love and gentleness and compassion. So a lot of my work is with end-of-life issues.
And I get the other end of things. I get the people who come after that they want to just know, did I do the right thing? Are they okay on the other side? Is everything all right? Are they upset that I put them down? Was it the right time? Was it the right thing to do? Mm-hmm. So you deal with them before
after.
And I deal with them after. But also,
I deal with them after too.
Yeah. So Lisa, you could probably agree that I think the human companion knows intuitively sort of when the right time is.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want kind of confirmation of yes.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes what happens.
Go ahead. Oh, yes, Lisa, go ahead.
I was saying sometimes what happens is that the animal will say, no, I'm not ready. And I will come back and tell the human, not yet. Not yet. You'll know. And these will be the signs. And the animal sometimes will tell me when. And the human has more time with them. So it also helps to give them a little bit more hope that they're with their animal for a longer period of time here.
Well, Lisa, I have one more question too now, because my own personal thing here too now, just before we go. What, say, like, in my situation, there's an animal that's, let's say, 15 years ago, I have, still that doubt or guilt or questioning. Can you still communicate with them when it's been that long?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
If somebody is a psychic, we walk between those two worlds, back and forth, whether it's people or animals. So people will send me a picture and ask me the same thing that we just talked about. Is he okay? Is she all right? Should I have done this? Where is she? Is she going to be able to come back?
Okay. And that's where, Jennifer, yes, the animal spirit guides, do you as well, Lisa, see animal spirit guides or know and meet them and talk to them and bring them forth?
I do, but when they come forth, sometimes in the Reiki circle they'll come forth, but I think Jennifer is more in tune with that, and those readings are more about the spirit guides and what the animal is working to do to help the human along.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to thank you. Jennifer, do you have anything else? We have about a minute left, and I'm going to wrap this up, but is there anything else you want to add or say before we say goodbye?
No, I'm just very grateful. It's been a lovely opportunity, and I just encourage everyone to just spread some love to their furry family. Mm-hmm. And give your kitties a good hug for me.
Aw, well, thank you so much, Jennifer. And Lisa, thank you.
I would like to thank Jennifer. I got a lot out of your segment also. I think we are walking the same path, and it was a pleasure to meet you. And you, Lisa, this was a great deal of fun for me.
Oh, thank you. And Lucy actually had to bump off quite a bit earlier, so we thank Lucy so much. And I'm going to put all of your links and everything up on the Facebook page, and we can all connect somewhere here. So thank you, lovely ladies. Thank you so much, everybody. Love their animals. Yay! Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.